This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. Welcome to Issues 2019 again.
Thank you. Pleasure being here again.
Recently, your department operated a special traffic surveillance on East Kellogg. Is it necessary to use grant money when you do something like that?
It's not necessary. What it does, though, we still have beats to cover and calls to make. And so what it does is it allows us to utilize other personnel that's not working that shift and pay them overtime to increase the traffic safety operation.
Does the money for a grant like that always come from the state, or where does it come from?
Yes, it comes from the Kansas Department of Transportation. So okay. KDOT sponsors it.
I'm surprised they have any money for that.
So am I.
We always hear that things are terrible there. Outside of these special enhanced enforcements, how does your department handle traffic violations in general?
You know, we have some areas in the county that are high accident locations. Also, last year we had a lot of fatalities, so that's where we're concentrating at this year. We have a lot of traffic issues on K-42 and K-15 in MacArthur out west, and so that's where we concentrate more of our traffic enforcement. Now, the deputies themselves, when we get in complaints from citizens about speeding and running stop signs and stuff, the deputies take it upon themselves to go work those particular areas, but we operate kind of on an intelligence-led policing platform now, and so we really look at our numbers when it comes to accidents and especially fatalities, and those are the areas that we work the hardest.
Talk about the importance of just safe driving.
It's very important. I mean,
how can we make people safer? They don't do driver's ed in school anymore. I love driving.
You know, I will tell you probably the number one thing that we're seeing is texting and driving that's causing a lot of accidents. The inattentive driving where, you know, folks are, you know, messing with their radio or on their phone or putting on makeup and those type of things. And that's usually most of the time our number one contributor to an accident. The thing is that, you know, either take time in the morning to do those things. Put your phone on auto reply, so nothing's that important that you can't wait until you get somewhere and then look at your phone.
You know, Sheriff, when we see these stories of out on the highway someplace, and a big semi is head on with a car, and I tend to think, you know, I wonder how many times that is either someone's fallen asleep or they're distracted and texting. I just wonder.
Yeah, I think some of them, the majority of them, I think are distracted driving. We had a couple last year that were actually suicides. And unfortunately, we see that as well with people who run into semi-trailers or semi-trucks because more than likely at 70 miles an hour, you're going to die from that type of accident. So. Oof. And we saw a couple of those last year here in the Wichita-Cedric County area.
I hadn't thought about that. Really hadn't thought about it. Yeah, you're right. That would be a way to accomplish it. I've noticed sheriff deputies operating within the city How many cities are under your jurisdiction then?
Well, we're responsible for the entire county. So we have jurisdiction in every city. But every city here in Sedgwick County also has their own police department. And so we work very closely with the police departments. If they need additional deputies to help, just like when we need additional officers to help us out in the county, they come and assist. So it's kind of a mutual aid. It's more of a regional type policing. If there's equipment that we have or investigative skills that we have that we can assist the jurisdictions, then we supply that type of
help.
Help. Yeah, sorry.
Hey, for some background, how many officers actually work for the Sheriff's Department?
We have 535 employees. That includes detention, civilian, and our commission people.
And how many of those actually work at the jail, the detention center?
300.
300?
Mm-hmm.
The majority, then. I mean, that's a simple majority.
We don't have 300 in there right now, but that's what we're allotted. We're about 70 deputies down.
Give us an overview on what's happening with the jail. We'll talk about the numbers of employees, but mm-hmm. tell us more generally what's going on within the population. Growing, changing, anything like that?
It's growing. It's staying steady. Kind of an uptick right now. We transformed the work release facility over to a jail annex facility where we can hold 180 more inmates.
Where is that located?
That's at Harry McLean, the old work release facility, also known as the Pea Farm
years ago. Yeah. When I was there,
when you were housed in there, it was probably like a country club or something like that.
Right.
So that has helped with some of our out of county population. When we're overcrowded, we got to ship inmates out of county. But we're also seeing that our average daily population is staying in the upper 1400s instead of dropping in the wintertime like it usually does. That's usually not a good sign because summer is coming. So fortunately, we were able to get the jail annex in, but today we still shipped out 110 inmates, and we had 175 at the annex. So if we wouldn't have had the annex, we'd had 285 inmates out of county, which is high.
There was a story a couple of weeks ago about the fact that so many of the parolees and people like that are released in Sedgwick County, mm-hmm. as opposed to Overland Park, Johnson County. They got nobody up there, but mm-hmm. Is that a big problem? It must be.
Yeah, Chief Ramsey and I have been talking about that issue, and it really has affected the crime stats in the city of Wichita, which then affects jail population. And so there is a large number of individuals released on state parole to the city of Wichita or Sedgwick County, and it is not a good thing for us. I somewhat understand it because we have services here to provide, but I also don't think that folks from other counties should be released here because we have the services. They need to go back to the county that they did the crime in, my opinion.
So when you talk about inmates that are in our county jail and the other facility there, a lot of those people are from not necessarily in Sedgwick County?
Some are. The parole violators and those type of folks, we see from all over the state. You know, we'll also see them from other states, too.
And District Attorney Mark Bennett has been talking about adding facilities to deal with people who have mental issues, mm-hmm. trying to keep them off the streets and out of jail and mm-hmm. out of trouble with you. What do you think of that? What are your ideas?
Well, what started here 2 years ago was a group of us started looking at the mental health issue because it was inundating our system. So Via Christi, ComCare, the DA, the police department, myself, and some other partners really started sitting down and talking because we were doing a lot of pointing of fingers of each other, which was not helping. So we got through that pretty quickly, and we identified the real problem, which is funding from the state to the state hospitals that we currently have now. So what has transpired into is we are developing a substance abuse and mental health coalition that will have 8 executive directors, and then 2 sides of this, which will be committees. One is for substance abuse because that's another major issue that we're facing here. And then the second part of that is mental health. They're kind of intertwined, but we also decided if we combine the two, it's too big of a problem to attack with just, you know, a certain group of people. So We're in the development of that. We hired a substance abuse coordinator with the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office to help direct the substance abuse side of this. ComCare hired a mental health collaborator to do the same with mental health, and we're starting to plug forward on really trying to address a lot of these issues here in Sedgwick County because we're not getting a lot of help from the state. You have to understand that the state doesn't have a lot of funding that they put into mental health care. That's why we're in the place we're in. Individuals that, you know, we had one guy last May that was booked 17 times, had numerous visits to Via Christi, numerous visits to ComCare, and how much money did we spend on that? They go up to Osawatomie. They can force Medicaid up there. They have them for about 10 days, and then they ship them right back to us with the same issues. And so the recidivism of the mental health patients is pretty high.
You know, and when I was growing up, I don't know what the situation is now. I talked about Osawatomie. There was the Larned State Hospital when I was a kid, and then I think Topeka had a mental facility. Was that just two or three of them in the entire state?
Winfield. Also had one, and then Osawatomie. And then in the 90s when they started doing mental health reform, and be very careful with the term reform because this is what we got out of it. And they shut down several of those hospitals. They tried to do the local mental health stuff, which I agree with folks that have mental illness. It's easier for them and their families if they can do something locally here instead of going up to Osawatomie. But Osawatomie only does acute care and no long-term care. And some of these folks need to have long-term care, and we have no facility like that. So we've been lobbying the legislator for a regionalized approach to mental health care, where Osawatomie would turn into the mental health care center for Northeast Kansas. They'd put a regional hospital here in Wichita, and then kind of like a spoke, smaller mental health hospitals in Southeast Kansas, Western Kansas, and North Central Kansas. And that's what we think would ease some of the issues and then also be able to help assist us with caring for the mentally ill here and keeping them out of the system and out of the jail.
Your people are the, you know, and police officers are kind of the shock troops. You're on the line out there. And how, to express to me, if you will, how big a challenge is this for people with mental challenges? Is it a growing concern?
Obviously. It is a growing concern. I personally believe that part of the growing issue with it is methamphetamine. Methamphetamine is by far the biggest drug that we're facing. It's, you know, we had the crack in the 90s that was an epidemic. Methamphetamine is here. We have opioids, but we're not seeing what they're seeing on the coasts. Methamphetamine actually eats away at the brain, which then can emulate mental illness. And they never get that part of their brain back. And so we see a lot of that inside the jail. Thus why we did, you know, the mental health unit that we have inside the jail that treats 49 of our most serious cases on a daily basis. Now, we do mental health care for numerous inmates in there. And, you know, about 35% of our inmates are diagnosed with some type of mental illness. Of 1,400, that's around 400 people. And so, yeah, we're seeing it grow, and we're not able to keep up with it. And so that's why we need to do some additional thinking of this and how we're going to address it from a local standpoint, because we're just not seeing the help out of the state.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. Sheriff, what has been the impact of, over the past few years of firearms laws have changed, and now, as I understand it, anybody who wants to can strap on a shooting iron and walk down the street. What impact does that have on law enforcement?
You know, when the original law was passed about 4 years ago, where you could carry concealed or unconcealed, you could carry a rifle, those type of things, we saw a few people that would carry rifles down the street, which alarmed a lot of citizens, alarmed me. A couple of those folks actually were arrested, and we found out that they had felony convictions, so they were charged, and one of them went off to prison. So we're not seeing near as many rifles being carried by people. As far as the carry concealed or carry unconcealed, you know, we do have some of the road rage stuff where people point guns at each other and some of the ag assaults and ag battery numbers that Chief Ramsey has talked about. But out in the county itself, we really haven't had any issues with that particular law being passed.
How about human trafficking? Is that a problem in the county?
It's still taking place. You know, the in 2007 when we did the RICO case there in Wichita. I was a part of that, and you know, we were going after gang members that were wreaking havoc in this community. What we found was is they've kind of switched over from crack cocaine, the selling of it, to selling of underage kids. So human trafficking. It's the first time we had really found that. And since then, it's become more noticeable. And the more we talk about human trafficking, the more we tell the stories about it, the more we open up about it, just like we did with domestic violence in the early 90s, well, more people are reporting it because they're more comfortable coming to us. So we're seeing the rise in numbers, but we're also seeing a huge uptick in the way we're addressing it, the way that we're arresting people for that particular crime. That's part of our jail overcrowding issue is the sex crimes wing that we have is crowded every day. Most of those people, because they've committed those acts on children or human trafficking or those type of things, they don't usually get out before their trial because they are such a detriment to society. And they are where they belong, in my opinion. And so, but we're seeing more and more sex crimes being charged, which is not a good thing by no means. But, you know, we're at least trying to hold them accountable for their actions and get them off the streets.
How does the internet and social media fold into that? Because I know that's probably part of it.
Yeah, that's a big issue with it. You know, we have travelers, as they're called, that will reach out to younger girls. They'll say that they're 17 or 18. They come to town. They pick up the girl, and you know they're our age. So we do stings on that on the internet. We really try to educate parents about really pay attention to what your kids are doing on the internet because these are the type of things that take place out there.
Wow.
And the exchanging of nude photographs is illegal. If you're under the age of 18, we get a lot of that.
Is the sheriff's department involved with local schools? And this might be one way to do it, but is it you?
We are with county at schools in the county? That are out in the county. Yeah. We do a few things if we're invited to BOE USD 259, but most of our work is done in the rural schools.
Let's talk about the recruitment and training of sheriff's officers. We touched on that a minute ago about the jail. Is your biggest need then the detention center?
Oh, absolutely, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Talk you know, about that. How big a need is it?
Yeah, this has been going on for about 8 years. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, law enforcement took quite the beating in the last 8 years overall. And I'm not saying that we didn't deserve some of it. I mean, when you have cops in different areas shooting people that are unarmed and shooting them in the back and stuff, I mean, they were charged with those crimes.
Yeah, but you know, that happens with something else, but with we in the media. Sometimes people don't understand that someplace else it's not here.
It's not here. So we haven't had those issues here, but we all got painted the same picture.
And, yes, sir.
And so folks that thought they wanted to be in law enforcement have chosen not to be. And we rely on people that want to get involved in law enforcement. This is a first step into law enforcement is to work in the jail because it gives them really a leg up when they go and become a police officer or sheriff's deputy somewhere. Well, we're not seeing those type of folks apply, so our numbers in detention have just dropped dramatically. And a lot of it is because folks just don't want to do that particular job anymore. And so our retention rate is pretty low. Folks come in. We cause it ourselves because I hire a lot of people from the jail to be commissioned deputies. The police department hires a lot of people from our jail because they have experience. And so we take our leaders out of there, and then we're always trying to replenish our leaders and those type of things. And we have very good people in there, but we're really young also. So, you know, the thing is we've done a couple of events out at the training academy called Super Saturdays. We had 16 come 2 weeks ago, and we had 25 come in last weekend. And so we're trying different avenues to try to draw people in because we do have a lot to offer. We have very competitive pay. We have benefits packages. And it is a good place to work as long as you're willing to work. It's not a glamorous job by no means, but you are doing something for the community that is absolutely needed, and that's making sure that we're guarding those prisoners because they don't need to be out in society committing more crimes.
You have, realistically, as you know, you're in a really tight labor market right now here in this area. I mean, there are jobs out there, some pretty good paying jobs. They don't find people to go and fill those positions. You know, I'm talking about Spirit and other places, yeah. But that makes it
even
tougher.
It is a very tight job market as well. And so, you know, we are competing with other agencies all the time to hire commissioned deputies. You know, the time of having 300 applications for 15 openings are long gone. One of the last classes we had 12 deputies that we were going to hire for. We only had 35 applications. That doesn't mean all 35 are going to make it.
Yeah.
We were fortunate to be able to fill all 12 positions with only 35 applications.
Well, then there's another aspect. Do you have an aging force? Or do you have people that are like me that are getting to the retirement age?
Oh, yeah. We're very young. And in the next couple years, we have about 25 supervisors that can retire. And so, yes.
Which also means if you get in now, you might be able to be promoted.
Well, and we're trying to groom people for that because we know it's coming.
Yeah.
And trying to plan for that in both the commission side and the detention side, because that's a wealth of experience that's going to be walking out the door. So we have to get people that are going to do a good job in being supervisors groomed for those positions.
Tell me a little bit about training and beginning pay for officers.
For sheriff's deputies, commission side, it's $20.47 an hour is what you start out at, and then once you graduate, you get a raise. For detention, it's $15.97. And then once you graduate, you get a raise there as well. I will tell you that one of the things that we looked at from a standpoint of retaining people and trying to hire people, we were fortunate enough that the county commissioners agreed with us, and we went to a step and ranges plan. And so folks can top out now in 10 years in pay in whatever particular position they're in. And each year, as long as they get a good evaluation score, they get a 5% raise, which is not something that was done before. You know, we had people that had been with the department 28 years and still haven't topped out at the rank that they were at. So we're hoping from a money aspect that will draw more people, and it's a income that you know that you're going to get as long as you perform well enough, and you'll get raises in the next rank as when you promote as the same.
About the training, though, do you train everything locally? Do you go to the law enforcement training center in Hutch? Or?
No, we have our own academy
okay.
That we share with the Wichita Police Department. It's on WSU's campus now. It's a very nice building.
So you can go to Starbucks.
We do all the training.
You can go to Starbucks.
They can go to Starbucks, yes, while they're out running.
Good. What are you proposing in your annual budget? Are you asking for a 20% increase in everything?
No. You know, last year, the thing that we asked for was the step and ranges and the raises and stuff. This year, we have a few positions that we are in dire need of. So we're going to ask for a detective that solely does forensics on cell phones. About every crime that is committed and we recover a cell phone is evidence. Right now, that particular detective is also carrying a caseload and can't keep up. I mean, the phone stuff is just unbelievable, and that's a full-time job in itself. So we're asking for that position. We're asking for a couple other positions, and then the normal stuff, you know, medical expenses every year go up, and so yep. Does food expenses. So.
What about body cams?
We have body cameras.
Everybody's
now.
Got body cams?
We
now?
Have. We paid for that ourselves. And it's about $250,000 a year for the next 5 years. But we have body cameras and also dash cameras on each vehicle and patrol officer out in the field.
What's the most challenging part of your job, Sheriff?
The most challenging right now is I feel horrible for our deputies inside the facility because they're working so much overtime. That's another reason why we have people leaving. We're about family at the sheriff's office, and it makes it hard when they're away from their family for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest issue that I'm the whole department's facing, but the one that keeps me up at night, is how do we hire people, how do we retain them so that our employees are not getting burned out and working way too much overtime, which currently they are.
What's the most rewarding part of the job then?
You know, actually, probably yesterday I went out and spoke to a group of juniors and seniors out at Mays. You know, talking with the kids and relaying to them the job opportunities, not just with the sheriff's office, but in general in Wichita, really have a plan of what they want to do, and then educate them on the process. And then talking with citizens in general about the sheriff's office and who we are and what we're about and what we can do for you.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us. They're always a good session, and maybe we'll have you back here in a few weeks.
That would be great. Thank you again.
Our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. And, of course, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.